Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it, play it, dig it.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And this is the Windy City Queercast, show number 92. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. The little tulips and little crocuses and all of those are sprouting up in my yard, which is going to be weird because it possibly is going to snow this week.
Oh, that's Chicago for you. Chicago springtimes. You can never really put your finger on them.
Chicago springtimes. How was your weekend?
It was good. I had the opportunity to go see the Lakeside Pride Band. I went to see their wonderful event. And I have to tell you, if you missed it, I'm so sorry for you because it was so beautiful. There were about 3,000 people on the stage. I swear to God, the band has gotten so large these days. And it was just so delightful. I did not, however, get to go to the after party. I sort of had to scuttle home. So I was sad about that because there were a lot of cute band members that I wanted to sort of hobnob with and do that.
But blow their horns.
As I was in
Had them blow your horn?
Oh, little skin flute. As I was in the car driving back home, because I rented an iGo to go out there, that monstrous rain craziness, torrential. I hate driving in the rain like that. And I was so thankful that I was taking Western south to Belmont because I was able to pull out of it as I went under the little viaduct to make a left onto Belmont.
I heard it was horrible. I was actually down in Champaign-Urbana and we were supposed to start driving back like around 9 o'clock and we got derailed and there was this big dinner thing and we ended up going and we thought it was going to be hors d'oeuvres on a tray and it was a three course, you know, pick one of your three options,
sit down
with like 60 people. It was enormous. And, so we ended up staying and my friend Di called and said, hey, there's this huge hailstorm, tornado storm. I'm worried about you guys. Are you on the road? I know you're driving back. And I called her and said, no, we're sitting here waiting for our steak and chicken, you know? and so it was actually really fortunate that we didn't get on the road till like 11 o'clock and we missed the entire thing. We had not a drop really of, I mean, we had a little mist, but we didn't have any real rain.
Wow.
Got in really late, but.
Yeah,
I heard it was horrible, like hail and tornado watches. And
I don't know that there was hail where I was, but I'm sure there was hail.
There was
south
on I-57, which is what we were
because
coming
it was,
up on.
It was much colder in the outlying, but it was just so great. It was just a very busy weekend for me. I did a ton of stuff. But let me tell you, last Wednesday, I went to the theater and I saw the press opening of
Who's Afraid
of Virginia Woolf.
And I saw it on Friday,
which...
I've got my little program here.
My program's in the other room.
Your program's?
My program is in the other room.
So what were your thoughts?
Okay, so I remembered how long it was, but I didn't remember how I would forget how long it was.
It was like a 3-hour play plus with two intermissions.
Yeah, three acts of just gut-wrenching, hardcore, visceral fighting and slicing and dicing and... again, I mean, she was just wonderful. You know, Kathleen Turner played Martha, who was she was just absolutely wonderful. But my hat's off to the little mousy girl because I just loved her performance.
I did not like her at all.
You didn't?
I thought she was in a different play for at least all of Act One. I was like, why was she directed to do this? She
really
seems like a caricature and she doesn't seem, by the time she got drunk, the caricature part works for Act Two and Three. But Act One, I thought,
you didn't
wow.
Like it. I loved it. I loved it because I'd never seen it done like that before. I'd never seen that part played that way. And she was just so upper crust, highbrow.
I just thought tonally it was so different than the other three. I just, you know, I totally think that Bill Irwin is just brilliant as George. I thought it was one of the most engaging, condensed, distilled. I mean, he's a clown by nature. He's kind of like this simple clown, you know, that's his background.
Remember him on the Cosby Show? Way back.
I just know him from like his early one man shows, and my theatrical mentor loved him, so I have followed his career since the late 80s. But he is just he's so fantastic in this.
He is, and he's physically exact.
He's physically so amazing. And you know, but what he does is he creates this wonderful contrast to what Kathleen Turner's doing that is also you know, really an amazing performance. And you know, I mean, just a really fierce performance by her. I thought, even though I thought he was the standout, I thought her performance was extremely fierce. And as a couple, they are quite a force.
The timing was just so, I mean, it's hard.
They
pulled
so much comedy out of it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's because they're both really great comedic actors.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
Which is the hardest form, I think.
Well, and especially this kind of comedy. Yeah. You know, he is so intelligent and his comedy is so distilled. That's the only word I can use. That it was perfect for him. And her, I felt like in a weird, weird way, we kind of got to the aged characters from like Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile. In a way of that echelon of comedy that was kind of bitter and caustic that she did really well. War of the Roses, like she does that kind of comedy really well. Not romantic comedy,
right.
I mean, even though those Michael Douglas movies may be considered romantic comedy, why they were so different was because they had that edge to them.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like if she'd those characters had been like boozers and aged,
right.
Which
see, I sort of looked at it like it was, oh, this is like, it kind of reminded me very much of sort of the Bruce Willis, Sybil Shepherd moonlighting.
Yeah.
Paradigm.
Which I feel like is very like, similar to Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile. And even War of the Roses is kind of that gone way
right.
wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. But I just, I really enjoyed her. I can't imagine because there's such a range. They hit so many notes on the keyboard in that whole show.
Ugh.
I can't imagine having to do that more than two or three times a week.
Exhausted. I can only imagine. And I have to say too, that as an audience member, you know, to say you went and saw a 3 hour plus play, and I went by myself because I called you Wednesday or Thursday and you were like, it's fabulous.
Oh my God.
And so I called
oh my God.
And bought myself a ticket. I had a great seat too. I was like six rows center, dead center. And, you know, what was amazing is I felt like we had stayed up with them all night.
Yeah,
like they
totally.
Did. You really felt like kind of that adrenaline rush, that prickly kind of feeling you feel when you're hearing the birds chirp in the morning and you've been up all night and also just kind of assaulted by it. Truly just an amazing, amazing,
amazing
show. So if you're listening to this, you've only got about five more days or
so
you can
run.
See if it's on tour, but how great that Broadway in Chicago is, you know, and that out touring right now are things like Cherry Jones from the original cast In Doubt and Bill Irwin and Kathleen Turner, you know, from the original London and New York cast, you know, out on tour with this show. It's, it is extraordinary. This
Absolutely.
Production.
And a huge thank you to the people at Broadway in Chicago for my fabulous tickets. Thank you.
Hey, I do have to say that, on Wednesday night, the reason I couldn't go to the press opening is that I already had tickets to see Patty Griffin at the Vic. And I am a huge Patty Griffin fan. You know, you heard, if you listened to our podcast, you heard our interview with Dar Williams, and I really just couldn't wait to see what Dar Williams would say about Patty Griffin, who is truly one of my, I think she is, I don't know, one of the most brilliant songwriters of our time. And she really just, you know, she just had the goods on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
The Vic is a very cool place to see a show.
It is. It's intimate and not at the same time. It's
it
got
is.
This weird
And we were in the second row, so it was intense, but just an amazing. So if you don't have her new CD, I highly encourage it. If you don't even know who Patty Griffin is.
If you don't have any of her old CDs, get them.
I highly encourage, you know, go and check it out on the web.
She's all over iTunes. Get it.
All over iTunes. And if you're a big fan of... like the Dixie Chicks. She's written a number of songs that the Dixie Chicks have covered. You know, Truth Number Two, which was a big song of hers. Let Him Fly, the slow ballad that Natalie Maines made such a really big hit. Also was written by her. And she's just really an amazing, amazing performer.
Yeah,
I just love her so much. So it was great.
I always associate her. She's a Carole King in my mind because I love what she writes. But I don't so much love her voice.
Oh, really? I love this kind of crying sound that she has. It's similar to like an Emmylou Harris. It's similar. And yet I think she also has a bit of a bluegrass sound that is akin to like Alison Krauss. It's that kind of tone that is nasal, that is kind of, high. It sounds like a high voice even when she's not singing high.
She reminds me of that place. Are you familiar with Laura Nyro?
Oh yeah.
It's that timbre. It's that. Yeah. It comes from above the nose, not below the nose.
It's just there's a great ache and kind of cry. And she said something that, you know, people always ask me, you know, why I always write these sad songs. And yet her songs to me don't seem sad. They just seem really human. And I don't think of her as like a morose songwriter, but, but she's definitely got some, one of her songs, Oh Heavenly Day, which is the song that she's kind of been releasing and sang on Letterman. It was great because she gave the story of that. And you thought like it was a great little love song, like a happy little love song. And she said that it's about her dog.
Oh.
And I just love that, you know, that like what brings you perfectly happy bliss, you know, but that. So it's very, very cool. We have a really good show today. We have Bill Greaves, who is the liaison for the GLBT community to the city of Chicago and to Mayor Daley. And, you know, even if you don't live in Chicago and you don't benefit from this story being fairly local, it's a very fascinating story that we are in a city in the United States that has so many firsts for GLBT people and that has had this position that has really affected a voice for us in City Hall and with city government.
And not just people as individuals like this person or that person. I think a community at large, that's the major thing, is that it's such broad recognition and such support of our community within a huge metropolitan city. I mean, in my mind, there's really only three or four big giant cities in the United States,
right?
And
San Francisco, LA,
New York, and Atlantic. I think Atlanta has a huge, and
Philly's got a pretty good sized community, and Houston, I guess, if we want to find another southern.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of them, but I always think in terms of like coastal, because
right,
all those
the big
like,
four,
right, the big four in there, what's going on there? But I think that Chicago has really, I mean, I know San Francisco, just all that damn city is queer, but Chicago has this wonderful dance between our neighborhood and the mayor, and the I think the electorate at large, and we really get a lot of respect, and we really get a lot of support here, and it's just fabulous that we have a GLBT liaison to the city.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see like what are the interesting topics being discussed in our city, what this position, you know, how does it affect things, and you can see a direct correlation as to why we have the gay games, why we are about to open a new gay and lesbian center here in our city, you know, our hate crimes legislation, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act including trans people, and we are sitting right now with a house bill in our state capitol, Chicago being a huge voting block on that, about you know, inducting civil unions or passing civil unions in our state. So I'm so glad to have him on the show, and I interviewed him. I was his first interview when he took the position. He had literally just arrived on a plane that day many years ago with Les by Gay Radio, and so it's exciting to sit down and have coffee with William Greaves, Bill Greaves, from the city of Chicago. So we're going to have that, plus a lot of news this week. There's just
a lot
so
of news.
Much going on, fun and serious, so and all that and more after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
It's time to dust off that tux and ball gown and throw on your dancing shoes, because the annual HRC Chicago Gala is right around the corner. Join us June 16th at the Hilton Chicago on South Michigan Avenue for HRC's Tickled Pink Gala, celebrating Chicago's GLBT community with dinner, dancing, a silent auction, and many more surprises. This year's keynote speaker is Academy Award-winning actress and newest star of The L Word, Marlee Matlin. For more, visit TickledPinkGala.com. kink2007.com. And tickets are on sale now at boxofficetickets.com. Just search for HRC Chicago to get your tickets today.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Ad Ester, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 2nd, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Glitterati Productions presents the Chicago premiere of Ken Ludwig's hysterical backstage farce, Moon Over Buffalo. The funniest show, says columnist Liz Smith. Superbly acted and glamorously costumed, this fast-paced comedy leaves the audience breathless from laughter. Playing now at Theater Building Chicago, 1225 West Belmont. See Moon Over Buffalo. You'll laugh your moon off. For tickets, visit theaterbuildingchicago.org.
Internationally acclaimed Hubbard Street Dance Chicago hosts Celebrity Cast Party for the gay community on Sunday, April 22nd. Enjoy the closing matinee at the Harris Theater, followed by cocktails, food, partying, and dancing with the Hubbard Street Dancers, all at the Fairmont Chicago. For tickets and details, visit hubbardstreetdance.com or call 866-535-HSDC.
Now at Writers Theater, the Puppet Master of Lodz. After escaping from Auschwitz, a once revered puppet master has barricaded himself in the attic. In an attempt to bring back his lost family, he prepares for his greatest puppet show ever, the story of his life. Hopeful, moving, and eminently theatrical, this beautiful story is a must-see. For more about The Puppet Master of Lodz, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Travel to the interior of Liberia with Looking Glass Theater Company's explosive world premiere, Black Diamond, The Years the Locusts Have Eaten. Playing now at Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. For tickets to Black Diamond, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Night Blue Theater presents the musical La Caja Fall, a boisterous and uplifting celebration of love and family featuring book by Harvey Fierstein and score by Jerry Herman. Live on stage, April 20th through 29th. For tickets to La Caja Fall, call 630-257-3077. That number again is 630-257-3077.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company concludes its 10th year of Think Theater with Mrs. Warren's Profession by George Bernard Shaw. Censored for 8 years for airing Polite Society's Dirty Laundry, this controversial comedy full of wit and colorful characters remains as relevant today as when it was written. Mrs. Warren's Profession playing now through April 22nd at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. For tickets, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Wicked, the most popular musical in Chicago history. For tickets, visit wickedthemusical.com/Chicago.
Is it always right to pursue these feelings?
Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
And I know
and this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In New York City, AIDS activist group ACT UP held a march on Wall Street to call out healthcare providers and pharmaceutical corporations. Almost 30 people were arrested after marchers lined up 50 body bags, with 50 representing the number of people who die every day of AIDS-related complications.
GLBT rights activist and tennis legend Billie Jean King has officially endorsed Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton for president. Quote, as a young woman, mother, advocate, first lady, and senator, she has continually shown us she is passionate about improving family issues, healthcare, equal pay, and the challenges that people all across this nation face on a daily basis, King stated.
Donnie Reyes, a Honduran gay rights advocate, was allegedly beaten by police and raped by fellow inmates in a police station. Police reportedly accosted Reyes and told fellow detainees, "Look, I'm bringing you a little princess. You know what to do." After which Reyes was allegedly stripped, beaten, and raped by four men.
On March 21st, a civil union bill passed the Illinois House Human Services Committee by a vote of 5-4. The Religious Freedom and Civil Union Act, or House Bill 1826, would grant same-sex couples in Illinois civil unions. The next step will be for the bill to go to the full House for consideration, where it will need 61 votes to pass.
In Michigan, an anti-bullying measure that would also protect GLBT students has passed the state House. The bill was expected to sail through the House, which is controlled by the Democrats, but is expected to encounter substantially more trouble in the GOP-controlled House.
Researchers at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases have discovered a weak spot in the AIDS virus. Unlike the rest of the mutating virus, one key part on HIV's surface can be penetrated by the HIV-fighting antibody B12.
Arlene Halko, a Chicago pioneer in the worlds of medicine and gay rights, died March 22nd of heart failure at the age of 73. A founder of the HIV-AIDS service organization Chicago House, she also owned Piggins Pub, a popular gay and lesbian night spot from 1982 to 1989.
Rufus Wainwright's fifth album, Release the Stars, is coming out May 15th. The CD on the Geffen label will be Wainwright's first release since 2004's critically lauded Want To. A tour in support of the CD is scheduled to begin late April.
Sir Elton John turned 60 and celebrated, appropriately, with his 60th concert at New York City's Madison Square Garden on March 25th. Guests included longtime collaborator Bernie Taupin and Whoopi Goldberg, along with Robin Williams.
Broadway stars Kristen Chenoweth and Hugh Jackman are attached to upcoming television pilots. Chenoweth will co-star with Susie Kurtz in the ABC show Pushing Daisies. Jackman will executive produce and guest star in the CBS feature Viva Laughlin. Other new shows include the Grey's Anatomy spinoff with Kate Walsh, Taye Diggs, and Tim Daly, and Dirty Sexy Money with Peter Krause, Donald Sutherland, and Jill Clayburgh.
Troubled pop star Britney Spears has embarked on the comeback trail by agreeing to record a duet with her wildly popular ex, singer Justin Timberlake. Super producer Timbaland recently approached Timberlake about collaborating with Spears, and the former NSYNC singer agreed. The duo will reportedly cover, I don't think this is the best idea, You're All I Need to Get By, originally covered by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell in 1968.
Song.
Not the two of them, though. She's got babies.
Well, let's figure it out.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Bill Greaves serves as the City of Chicago's liaison to the GLBT community, and with that position over the years, almost 7 years, he has seen change, growth, and also where our Chicago gay community still needs to go. So Bill, thanks for meeting me here in Andersonville.
It's my pleasure.
We're hanging out in kind of lesbo-hood.
I know.
I appreciate you.
You know, I'm an honorary lesbian.
You are. You're my honorary boyfriend. I should just claim my honorary girlfriend, and then we'd be really
good.
Then
we'd be on track.
There's only one. So you came to Chicago from where?
I came originally from Queenstown, Maryland, a town of 350 people.
Wow.
I moved here in 1978 after graduate school. Worked in the suburbs for years for Amco Corporation. Went back to Washington to work for Science Magazine as the physical sciences editor.
Yeah.
And then returned to Chicago and worked for Amco Corporation again. In the city, and until it was bought by British Petroleum, and with a little adventure in between, I then became the community liaison.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you go from crude oil and all that straight into
there should be a joke there.
There should be a lube joke there somewhere.
Yeah, there should be.
So really, I remember though when you got this position, and I was working on Les by Gay Radio, and I think you had literally just taken the position, just kind of found an apartment,
right.
Just were getting on your feet. And so I've been able to see how much you're out and about and all over the city. I want to go back for people who maybe listen to our podcast and haven't been to Chicago. Talk to me just a little bit about the nuts and bolts, the demographics of what Chicago's GLBT community looks like.
Okay. Well,
it doesn't have to be an exact science.
It's not an exact science because we really don't have the numbers. But what we use as an estimate is the 10% number, because Chicago is a magnet for LGBT people in the Midwest. And that's where they come when they leave their hometowns.
Right.
And so we assume that the LGBT population in town is 10%, which would be 350,000.
Right.
It's spread out all over the city, but there are identifiable LGBT communities on the south side around Hyde Park.
Right.
On Halsted Street from Belmont to Waveland,
right,
which is where the new LGBT community center will be, the center on Halsted.
And you were kind of here when the mayor was kind of proclaiming that.
That's
as
right.
The gay and lesbian center with the, for people who haven't been to Chicago, like the rainbow pylons. I mean, really, the queer as folk street that everybody saw on Showtime really does exist, but it's just in Chicago.
It's in Chicago, and it has those rainbow pylons up and down the street that say that this was, or still is,
right,
LGBT neighborhood. And then we have Andersonville. I want to get
that
in.
Which
is where
we're actually at the corner of, I mean, I call this the corner of lesbian and lesbian. We're like at the corner of Balmoral and Clark here at Taste of Heaven.
Right. Surrounded by, I think, several identifiable lesbians.
Yes. And gay men.
And gay men. All having coffee in the afternoon.
Right.
And this community was settled by women and sort of organically developed into a lesbian neighborhood and then into an LGBT neighborhood.
And it spreads all the way up into Edgewater,
right,
too, now that it's becoming,
right,
kind of the new North Boys Town, I guess.
That's right. People are moving north out of Boys Town, which would be sort of centered on Belmont Broadway,
right,
up to Edgewater. Part of that is economics. It's now more affordable to live up there, to move up there, for people to live up there. Part of it is that we really are sort of a community that reclaims neighborhoods. You
right.
know, we go into neighborhoods and
yes,
sort of spiff them up. Make them really comfortable for us to live in.
Yes.
And then,
that's real usually estate, comfortable for all if it's comfortable for us.
That's right.
Right.
And real estate prices rise and we sort of take our profits and move on.
So what do you think, I mean, is compared to other cities, is kind of Chicago's hallmark? I mean, is there a diversity of race? Is there a diversity of you know, organizations as compared to some of the other major cities? Philly, Atlanta, of course, New York and San Francisco are obviously big communities.
Right.
Houston, I mean, I'm thinking of like what some of the big GLBT cities are in the U.S. Like, what do you think makes Chicago unique? And
well, I think two things. One, I think the diversity of our communities. We have LGBT communities all throughout the city, and each one has a distinct culture. We have them on the south side, on the west side, on the north side. And I think the other thing that distinguishes us and has helped us grow is that we've had an unprecedented 14 years of LGBT inclusive public policy from Mayor Daley and his administration.
So let's talk about that, because some of that started being with the position, you know, I mean, that your position came about, but it was the first foray. I mean, I know Mary Morton was also serving as...
I'm actually the third.
You're the third.
I mean, Larry McKeon.
That's right.
Mary Morton, and then me. But before us, there were the three of us. There were actually commissioners who had a commission on LG on gay and lesbian issues.
So has that been something of Mayor Daley? Because we have a very supportive mayor here. So,
it actually started under, not Mayor Sawyer, but before him, the first African-American mayor here.
Oh my God. I wasn't living here. It'll come to you.
It'll come to me. I'm sorry, yes. But anyway, it started before.
Right.
But it
has seemed that Daley has really used that.
Mayor Washington.
Of course. But it seemed that Daley has really utilized the position. So in what ways are you in contact with the mayor? And in what ways does he use you? I mean, vice versa. I mean, use you is a good term. In what way does he utilize the fact that you exist and that you have access to him to make
things? Well, actually, I think it works this way. I actually direct an advisory council on LGBT issues, which is made up of members of our community. It's a diverse group of men and women, and it actually acts as a policy advisement council for the city. And so on a regular basis, sometimes almost daily, the mayor's administration reaches out to me to find out, you know, what I think about certain things, but what I think is actually what the advisory council thinks.
So what are some of the issues? Like, in the past few months, what would you have been talking about?
I think one of the issues that we're talking about, and it sounds really mundane, but security cameras in front of late-night bars.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I understand why that's an issue, and I understand why it's a safety issue, because it has been in many different communities, but for the LGBT community, that presents special challenges. challenges, because so many people in our community come out through the bars
right.
when they first go to bars when they aren't out.
Right, so there's an anonymity factor.
There's an anonymity factor and a privacy factor.
Right.
I mean, more than anonymity, a privacy factor. And if you really want to get specific about it, we have so many military posts around Chicago. A lot of the military officers come into the bars here in town, and to have a camera there taking a picture of them puts them at risk for don't ask, don't tell.
Right, which is obviously all over the news
these days.
Now, do you think that I remember in the mid to late 90s when I started doing radio that, you know, really the crimes, whether they were called hate crimes, but just a lot of, that was a real big time for the call to arms for the Chicago Police Department around Halsted Street.
Right.
It was almost before it was really designated, and a lot of the improvements had happened. And it seems like we hear a little bit less and less. Is that because crime has gotten better in these gay areas?
No.
Why are we hearing less and less?
I think it's because we've gotten used to it. If you look at the numbers, we're the second largest group of people affected by hate crimes in the city. The first would be African Americans.
Right.
And we're right up there. We're right very close to the top.
And so that would be why the issue of security cameras has come up as a solution, but it's tenuous.
Well,
that works for us because of the anonymity factor we were discussing.
Well, the security cameras come up because of the violence that occurs in late night bars.
Right.
I mean, around the city, there are definitely instances where there have been attacks and violence associated with bars, late night establishments throughout the city.
Right.
None of them, by the way, have ever been in a gay bar, an LGBT establishment.
Wow.
We feel that putting a camera in front of a bar, all bars in the city, because of a few people, a few establishments, is really putting our community at risk, for very serious things. But to get back to your question, which is, are we affected by hate crimes and by violence? Whether or not they're called hate crimes, the answer is yes. And it happens throughout the city. And it's happening in neighborhoods that you wouldn't think about. It happens in down on the south side and the southwest side.
We just had the person who intruded, the young African-American men who were
having a party.
Right, who were having
right.
a party.
And
that obviously got a lot of attention in the media.
It did, and it deservedly so. I mean, what happened, for your listeners who don't know, there was a group of 100 young gay men having a party on the south side. They were young gay black men. And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, two men in ski masks broke into the party and started shooting and shot 6 men. 2 were critically injured, 2 were seriously injured, and 2 were in fair condition. All of them are recovered. All of them are released and in the hospital now. But it was never, a motive for that was never established, because the men never spoke.
Right.
And technically, a hate crime, you have to almost go in and say, I hate you because you're gay, bang.
Right.
In order for it to be a hate crime. And that's just the legal definition of it.
Yeah.
So whether or not it was a hate crime is almost irrelevant. What it was violence directed towards a group of gay men.
Right.
And it has to be addressed.
And we know we had the Gay Games 2006 here, and that obviously had enormous amount of support from the city of Chicago. You know, for people who don't know, so Chicago's been working on a bid for the major Olympics, coming up, and I think it was a nice little mini test ground for them in some way. There's been a lot with seeing, like, Mayor Daley be so out front and the city of Chicago enhancing the neighborhood and all of that. What else do you see as just some kind of key victories you've had? I mean, we have really great adoption and employment.
Let me go back to the gay games, because I want to sing Mayor Daley's praises for
please
just
do,
a minute.
Please do. I mean, we definitely have, because we've covered the games. So.
But I think the opening ceremonies for the Gay Games had a major impact, and they had a major impact worldwide. And people are still talking to me about the mayor's speech.
Yeah.
And the reason I think it had such an impact is because he said something really important and very succinctly and very passionately, and that was gay men and lesbians are welcome in Chicago. And no other mayor in the world has ever come out and said that directly.
Well, and he was pretty direct as well when
Gay marriage.
Gay marriage in San Francisco.
Right.
What is the governor's name?
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom, you know, said, you know, well, this should be legal in San Francisco. And Mayor Daley kind of immediately said, you know, it should be legal here in Chicago.
That's right. And, I mean, he's on record as saying that. And he's also on record as saying that the threat against marriage, because he was asked about that by a reporter, the threat against marriage is not gay marriage, it's divorce.
Right.
So he is very supportive of same-sex marriage. He understands that he has seen people in our communities form families and have children, and he understands that those children and those families need the same protections that every other family has.
Right. And what do you think have, well, the culmination of that, we should just go right into it, has been the city's support of the Gay and Lesbian Center on Halsted, which will be opening up here in just a couple of months.
Right.
Which is in the center of Boys Town on Halsted Street. And, you know, what will this center do for the city, and how has the city been supportive in it coming about and actually manifesting in this really world-class facility?
Well, the city was really instrumental in starting the project because it provided the building at a very reasonable price. And Mayor Daley has served as one of the co-chairs of the capital campaign. And so he's been instrumental in helping them raise money. He and Billie Jean King have been in partnership, have been really instrumental in helping the Center on Halsted raise the funds to build the building.
We should say Billie Jean is a Chicagoan or lives in Chicago.
That's right. She is a Chicagoan. And people forget that.
Or don't know it. Absolutely.
And so the city has been very supportive of the efforts and has helped at every step along the way. We're really happy with the results. I mean, it's a beautiful building. It's providing resources from that neighborhood that have never been there. It's using land that was just sitting there as part of an old parking garage and really turned it into a very productive center. And what it will do, what the center will do for our community, is it will be a focus for us to develop new services and to come together in different ways and build a community that is stronger and more effective.
And it'll be a place for kind of the social to come together in terms of support groups and meeting groups, youth advocacy, all of that,
all of the
seniors, also for political, you know, aspects of just meeting rooms for people to meet their organizations, their nonprofits, you know, and then I think also, you know, it's really going to be there for health as well, just like emotional support groups and things like that, you know, designated that are safe spaces for the GLBT community.
Right, and safe spaces for youth and LGBT youth. And the Center on Halsted will provide what it's calling the Horizons, the four Horizon services that have always been part of the organization that developed the Center on Halsted.
Right.
So it's going to be an amazing, really beautiful and amazing facility.
What do you think are still the hurdles that you would like to say? Like, if you said, I have 5 more years in this job, and in 5 years' time, what would I love to see happen? You may have 25 years, but I'm just
or
saying.
Or I may have one.
You may have one. But, you know, let's give you enough time that you could actually make a plan and have execute something and have it come out the other side. Is there some big hurdle or something that you're like, we keep chipping away at this? We'd really like to have this.
I think, well, for me, I mean, it's an intangible one, but it's very important. One. And that is all those different communities that I mentioned that are all around the city. I would like to see them woven into a fabric where each community can maintain its distinct culture, but that we all work together in more cohesively, and so that we can be a stronger community and be more effective in the city, and also withstand the attacks that come, you know, sort of on a regular basis.
So you think that the communities, though there are a lot of them, that they are more separate than you would like to see?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the interesting thing is I've always felt, having lived in other cities or visited other cities, that Chicago is one of the more blended. I mean, definitely you can walk down Halsted and walk into a different bar and you can kind of like sum it up in a phrase, but still you will see other types of people there. And at events, you're starting to see more men coming to women's events.
Right.
Women have always kind of been at some of the men's events, because if they've been focused around HIV and AIDS or charitable kind of events. I don't think you see any difference politically from male to female. But maybe you're talking about some of the smaller groups that need access to.
Right, and I think that, I guess maybe from my position and going all around the city and working with people, I see different communities growing up on the South Side.
Uh-huh.
I see different youth communities growing up on the South Side. I mean, there's the hip-hop group, and there's the ball group, and there's the house group.
Right.
And then on the west side, there are totally different issues.
More Latin community.
And then there's the Latin community down in Pilsen.
Right.
On the west side, there are a lot of couples that live on the far west side around Austin. And you never hear about them. But they're there and they form the community and they have their own culture.
Right.
And what I'd like to see is, you know, we have a lot of things that we need. Healthcare, we need to bolster for the LGBT community. You know, Howard Brown does a really good job, but we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We have a lot of work to do for our youth to make sure that they're safe in their schools and they have the ability to be themselves and develop into productive people without harassment or without fear.
Right.
And all of our communities can come together and do that more effectively.
Right.
And by being a larger, more cohesive community, we can have more impact on the city. We can stand up and say we need this.
Right.
And gain that political attention from the political people in the community or in the city and gain those services.
And you know, for people who don't know, I mean, Chicago is one of the more liberal, democratic cities in the U.S.
Well, more democratic.
Okay. We don't want to say socially maybe not as liberal as one would think, but, you know, for GLBT people, it seems that we are pretty protected. The mayor's pretty vocal. You know, we have employment, non-discrimination.
Right.
We have, you know, second parent adoption. We have a gender identity ordinance, which is huge.
Yes.
That passed a few years ago.
And if you wanted to ask me what one of my most important accomplishments was shepherding the gender identity ordinance through city council and getting it passed.
And what is that specifically for people who don't know?
A gender identity ordinance is really for protects anyone, no matter what the expression of their gender is, i.e. transgender people are protected.
Yeah.
They can be themselves.
And that was a pretty big thing to add kind of the T to the GLB.
Right.
There's usually many loopholes to where the gender is not protected in the same way.
That's right. And because of the gender identity ordinance, because of its acceptance here and the fact that it was successful, it made it easier to get it at the state level when the human rights ordinance was passed last year, or 2 years ago now, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was put into effect last January 2006.
So one of the things that comes up here for people, because there are so many people fighting the good fight and working just to just brick by brick build a foundation for our community. I mean, you are at the head of that. We have
how about at the forefront.
At the forefront.
I'm not the head.
All
of
right,
it.
You're at the forefront of that. But I one of the things that we do have here is we have the Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame, the GLBT Hall of Fame,
yes.
Which is I still think, are we the only city?
We're the only city in the world that does this.
That has a Hall of Fame. And that is coming up pretty soon.
Well,
submissions are coming up.
I mean, we accept nominations for the Hall of Fame every year. And I think we should explain to your listeners that Chicago is the only city in the world that honors the contributions of members of the LGBT community to the city. And every year, people are nominated for their contributions. It's either to the LGBT community itself or to the city at large, each of which strengthens the city.
Right.
And there's members of the Hall of Fame, people who have been inducted, meet in September and go through the nominations and through a lively process.
I bet. That's a very political way of saying that, Bill.
Choose who will be honored this year.
And so it's not only GLBT people, it's also GLBT organizations and also our straight allies,
exactly,
our friends.
Exactly.
So it really is who's making a contribution either to the community or as an openly GLBT person, I guess.
Right, to the
in
city.
In their own field, to the city.
To the city. And we've reached to the past. I mean, you know, Lorraine Hansberry is in it.
Right.
And this year we inducted two women from the early 1900s who started one of the most important literary magazines in the country.
Yeah.
Who were openly, fabulously openly lesbian back in 1911. You know, living on the... on the beach when they ran out of money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then we've also inducted friends of the community, including the mayor, Sam again, but also people such as Alderman Helen Schiller, who's been a great friend of the community from the Minnesota and other people. And then such organizations as Horizons, which is now the center of the hall, and Front Runners, which is an organization I belong to, which was one of the first athletic organizations for LGBT people in the Chicago area.
So if you had to tell somebody who's listening to this who doesn't live in Chicago, like, why you should come and check out our city, I mean, first of all, we're heading into the most beautiful months that you
right,
want to be
exactly.
here. So besides the weather, which is just
glorious.
You mean
glorious. Besides the fact that from May on, all these shirtless men are on the street.
There
the,
you go.
The
That's probably the sales pitch right there.
running, biking, swimming. I think this is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I mean, it's a beautiful, glittering, glamorous city on the lake. It also happens to be one of the most gay-friendly cities in the country, if not in the world.
Right.
And there are, you can find almost anything you'd be interested in doing here, from high art to low art, you know, and to the lowest of the low.
Exactly.
And, you know, from Michigan Avenue to Halsted Street to Clark Street in Andersonville.
You know what I love is just, I just love that we have a city that feels like you have all the opportunities that one would have in New York or in an LA or something like that, in terms of like theater, in terms of galleries, in terms of music, and definitely in terms of parks and lakes, Millennium Park, you know, downtown, all of that architecture is unparalleled. But you also just have this really without any kind of attitude, Midwestern, just open, honest, friendly,
funky
kind of, you know, energy from people
that is
just really, really open. I think this is a great place you can travel alone or with a group
couple.
Some places wouldn't say that. Like, I don't want to go with a big group to New York. It's just too hard. You know, but you can come with a big group here. You can come with just your significant other, or you could come alone and feel really comfortable. People would talk to you. And,
If you're alone, you could come and stay at one of the bed and breakfasts up in Boystown.
Yeah.
You know, which there's some lovely ones up there.
Yeah.
And then you could go
and really gay-friendly hotels.
Gay-friendly hotels. Yep. A lot of gay hoteliers here in town.
Yeah.
And you could go down to Michigan Avenue and see the Art Institute, or you could go to Hyde Park and see the Smart Museum, or you could come up to Andersonville and go to Women and Children's First Bookstore.
The oldest women's bookstore, I think, now in the U.S.
Country.
I think so.
And
which is sad to say, because there were some before them, but they've all gone the other way.
And the Swedish History Museum, and, you know, the Mexican Fine Arts Museum.
Yeah.
And you could take in all of that and then go for a wonderful walk along the lake.
Yeah.
You know, and just look at people and enjoy the waves and just chill out.
Yeah, it's a great, great city, and I hope that we don't only have you for one more year. You've been a great champion of the GLBT community, and, you know, I just really appreciate you talking with me just kind of about where the city is right now. I think a lot of fun and exciting stuff is going to happen to our city in the next year with the center opening, with decisions on the Olympics. There's a lot of reasons to come to Chicago, and but it's already all here. You don't have to wait for anything to happen.
Right. There's no reason to wait for the Olympics. They need to come
That's
now.
That's right. Book your ticket. Book your ticket now. Come visit. Bill Greaves, thanks so much. And if people had a care or concern or wanted to get in touch with you, or, you know, is kind of a forum for this advisory board on issues that people are thinking that are impacting the GLBT community in Chicago?
I mean, they can come to an advisory council meeting. We meet the third Wednesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. at City Hall in room 201. So they could just come and listen and express their views. They could call me directly at 312-744-7911 or send me an email message at WGREA, as an athlete, E as in Victor, E S as in Sam, at cityofchicago.org.
That's great. Well, so make your voice heard if you've got something to say.
If you have something to say or want me to hear something, then let me know.
That's right. Or just, you know, drop an email and say thanks for all the good work you're doing. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.